Okay, it is now 3:04. We have a quorum, and I'd like to bring the ESAC Waste Diversion Collections and Education meeting to order. It's Wednesday, March 5th. Roll call. We're always so easy. Doug?
Here.
Here.
Trevor. Trevor Ledbetter.
Here.
Me.
Margo Garcia. Hi. Brent Ariza.
Here.
And Chris Yarder present. Let's see. Oh, Brittany sent you for item two for the Plan Tucson. There's a couple meetings coming up that PDSD advertised, and they're online if you don't have anything exciting to do that evening. You might want to check in and see where they're at. There's a lot of us that still think there should be some improvements, but sort of afraid that it's a done deal. So I don't know how you feel, Margo, but
I just heard them do a presentation for the Transit Task Force, and it sounds pretty polished. I had them bring up the map and talk about what those funny green bars meant, and I didn't get too much satisfaction. I mean, it's a big change in direction. I mean, they're really talking about adding heights, which is not something this community has had before. So,
right.
We'll see what happens.
Right. Well, it is a problem. Any other people interested in the Plan Tucson stuff following it? I know we see Trevor, you've been at those meetings. I know Frank's been at it. Brittany, you've gone, right?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw you at one of the Plan Tucson meetings, but maybe you were.
Actually, maybe I have. I just don't. It must have been a really long time ago, actually.
Well, it's been going on for a couple of years, so.
Yeah.
You're certainly forgiven for forgetting.
Okay. All right, let's move on to item three for the chairperson's report, the annual report. Trevor, I don't know if you even had time to see some of the stuff I added. Okay.
I haven't had a chance to look at either of the emails that Brittany sent along this afternoon.
Okay. I put my stuff in blue.
That's where it came from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I read it, and I just wanted to say, Trevor, it was such a delightful, refreshing change from what I usually had written. So I think it was fabulous, and thank you
for the way
you started out with the recycling and how you talked about the difference from the year before and in general, and gosh, it was great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was good comparing the MRFs and stuff. And I just added some more stuff.
Great.
Which I have a tendency to do because, you know what, I feel like since we don't have that engineering subcommittee anymore. I mean, it's still on the books, but it's just not happening. And I think that's where we're getting info from Frank that he probably normally would have given in that subcommittee. I don't know what the others of you think, but it might work out okay. I mean, we might want to have a discussion on whether or not we still need to have that. That subcommittee.
Well, back to the report, I was really glad you referenced the fact that there was a problem with the methane levels from the not meeting the standards. And
yeah, Frank gave us that.
I remember that, but I'm really glad you called it out, because that's the kind of thing the council needs to be aware of, that that's happened and that, you know, we know about it.
At the beginning of the year, he talked about, you know, how we could use that, you know, collect the methane. But
we've been talking about that
forever,
for 4 or 5 years, ever since TEP told us that they didn't need it anymore. So, you know, I'm getting a little frustrated about that. We do need to add public outreach. I think maybe just a listing of all the different.
Yeah, that's what I left. I didn't get to it, and I'm going through all of our meetings and what Christina did, because there was one I had forgotten about when I went back and looked at it. Oh, it was something at the zoo. So I just wanted to make sure I had all of her outreach.
I mean, they're the standard ones. The other one thing that's missing, and I don't know where it belongs, is the hazardous waste collection every month.
Oh yeah, and I was gonna add that too. HHW is on my list.
Yeah, the household hazardous waste.
Yeah,
I've also been very successful.
Yes. That was on, and I needed to add that.
That should probably get the number of pounds or however they measure what all they've collected. So that.
Yeah, and I didn't know if I should go into more detail with code enforcement. I'm sort of really bummed out that they went back to PDSD because that didn't.
Oh, maybe that's the last thing to say is that they've returned to PDSD. I didn't think that we had hired the community service officers. I thought the CSOs were hired by the police department.
Well, they had, code enforcement had brought in CSOs, and that was an idea from city manager Ortega. Because there was a time when we met a long time ago where he was cutting the budget, and instead of giving us more code inspectors, he said, well, I'm going to take that money and put it into getting more CSOs and then have the CSOs help with the weeds and the junk motor vehicles. And it didn't work.
Well, that's because I thought they were under the police department. I just think the question is, who hired them? I mean, they were assigned to work with code enforcement,
right.
But the question is, where was their line?
Yeah,
I guess I just, that was the language that jumped out at me, that environmental services hired. That really surprised me because I didn't think we had the authority to hire those kind of folks, that they all were under the police.
No, those
no, we didn't.
CSOs were, they opened, I think, 3 CSO positions under code enforcement. Well, code enforcement was under our department.
Okay. So then we hired them. Okay. I stand corrected.
Well, well, the police got the money to hire them. That's what I thought. So, because anyway, that's how it worked out. And they're still doing okay for junk motor vehicles. They did a horrible job with weeds and once again, their computer, the computer they use for the police department doesn't speak to our computers. So it's sort of I think a city problem for sure. So, well, if you think of anything, you go through it, you see any mistakes, I'm going to be starting on, I want to go
other
through.
Than some... most realities. How do you guys
right now, are you able to use in web version?
I don't need to use it.
Okay. Are you talking to the people working on your computer, Christina?
I muted her, so
Oh, okay.
But yes, she was talking to the IT people.
So she's not, is she ready yet or
no, I think there's several people in her office.
Okay. Okay, so let me just quickly say I'm going to try and figure out some of the finance stuff, and I know Margo, you're good at that too.
Okay,
and I just kind of wanted to look at all I got all the finance reports and just see pick things that jump out, and then just kind of finish up with the ESAC stuff. So I hope that sounds okay. Okay. I hope somebody reads it.
Oh, I think the staff.
The mayor and council. I asked that to Steve Kozachik once, and he swore he read it. So,
well, if anyone would, he would.
Yeah.
Actually, at the electric car thing, Kevin Dahl started asking me questions about the MRF and the future of the MRF. So someone is talking to him about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Republic thinks they have a good future with the MRF. Let's see. Anything else?
Well, I can share pictures from the EV event if others would like to see.
Oh, yeah, please do. It was so cool to be up next to it. It's something so large.
And I'm available when you're ready.
I went through a couple. So let me share my screen here.
It was so cool when it drove up and you couldn't hear anything.
Right. Is it, there's Pat again.
Yeah.
Yep.
I figure we'll start with his happy smile.
He's back.
And I think that was Council Member Lane.
Yeah.
Is the truck on route now? Is it out working?
That would be a Pat question if his audio works.
It is.
Oh, yeah, his audio is not working.
It is working. I'll give you guys a quick update. I was going to update you guys anyways, but we are using it. We've been going out there last Friday. You know, we had two full loads on that vehicle, so we did it on, we tried it on garbage, and then we tried it on recycling. One of the things that, you know, we're just documenting what the length, how long it's taking for the charge. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, you know, I think was the slowest. I think it took the charge away from it. So it was down by 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The routes that we have, you know, they're all set up for.
You mean it was out of it was out of charge? You mean it was out of charge by 1 o'clock?
After a full charge, to 1 o'clock. And then it was, he was at the landfill and he was at 28%. So he said, I better get back to the yard. Came down, then we just left the charging overnight. So whenever he comes in the morning, you know, we just leave it charging overnight. And it's 100% when he comes in. One of the things that, you know, we are looking at already is like, okay, do we have smaller routes that maybe that he can handle? But we're still on the trial basis, trying to figure out, okay, where are we going to set it up at? Where are we going to be using it? But, you know, the driver that crushed that container out there, and he's the one that's been driving it. So it's he likes it. He likes it.
Is it running a trash route or recycle route?
They're doing both. They're doing both recycling and trash.
Hmm.
Yes. And we ended up getting a tear weight off of it. That thing weighs 40,000. And then I think there was like 600, 40,000, 60. I think that was the tear weight of that unit.
And what's a normal, like a CNG truck tear out at?
Those are around 36, 37, I believe, 36. On those, yes.
So it's a couple tons heavier, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you got the big battery in the back, so. But everything works normal. The arm, everything's working with the arm. The packer, everything is running just if it was a CNG unit.
And then how does the weight load affect the charge? Are you still working on that?
Yeah, we're still working on that. Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, they'll take the freeway. You know, is it taking more charge on the freeway than, you know, just a regular route that if he's taking with, you know, going down with all the stops. So those are things that we're documenting and making sure that we have that on hand.
Oh, and there's my granddaughter who loves trash trucks. So I think the one that Brittany gave her, this little white one truck, you know, she takes it everywhere. So. But anyways, that was pretty fun. I know it was a lot of work to put together.
Well, we appreciate you guys going out there.
Yeah. And we wish that more people could have come. Like, it would have been nicer to have more news people. And
it was beautifully done, beautifully arranged with chairs and canopy and food and
fancy food. And all the other electric vehicles
out there. Yeah, that was fun to see, the pickups and the, I don't know what you call that truck that has the bucket on the end of it. Is that a cherry picker?
Yeah.
No, that is a bucket truck.
A bucket truck.
Well, it's a bucket van. Bucket van.
Bucket van. I've never.
Yeah, that. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not sure if that's a correct name for it, but yeah, it was bucket van because I think that's what it was a van. But yeah. So we just throw the bucket in there.
Yeah. So it was a good time had by all. Is Christina still talking to the IT person?
No, they finally.
Oh, you kicked him out. Okay.
It's just, yeah, still not working the way it should, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, then you're up for the Murph report.
Okay. Share my screen. Brittany?
Sure, let me pull it up. I'm sorry. Oh, I wonder why you're not a co-host. There you go.
Ah. Okay, so we haven't received the February.
There it is.
Yet.
Yeah.
But you can see the commodity prices for the most part went up a little bit. The plastics went up quite a bit. From the polymer facility.
Okay.
So
this is the January report?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we've not received the March invoice, you know, the invoice yet for the February. So that's where we will get all the, and that's where the results from the last.
Where your residue went down?
Yeah.
So do you know why that was such a big jump? I mean, that's almost 20%. That's over $100, $120. It's about a 20%.
Because jump. They're probably making more on the sale of those flakes.
Oh,
that's really great. Good news. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good for a lot of reasons. You know, not only the money, but also the fact that what they're able to produce from those is also can be recycled again. So,
yeah.
So I'm really anxious to see the February invoice. But, you know, that residue fee there of $12,000 should be wiped out. So that'll really, you know, it'll make a difference.
Oh, okay. It's going to show up on the February one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. I was looking for it. Okay.
Right. So, yeah. I think we're doing okay.
Good. Any questions from anyone? Well, looks good.
Yeah, right direction.
Cost and when I went to, we did our tour on Valentine's Day, and I said something to the general manager and said something like, I, you know, hope it wasn't a fluke. And apparently they added a new belt and a new optical sorter that they think is responsible for the improvements. So their feeling is that it's not a fluke.
Well,
Well, that's interesting. Their stuff so we could get more money back.
Well, and so they can get more money too.
So they can get more money. Okay, guys. All right.
And, what are they sorting with the optical?
Plastics for the polymer.
I see.
Did they let you know ahead of time they were doing this?
I had not been told that they were doing the upgrade, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that's good. They should have done it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They know we're looking at it as to what's going to happen next. So I think they're trying harder. That's what I would suspect.
Well, I think, you know, benefits them as well. So,
yeah, well, I'm sure. The biggest benefit to them is for us to continue to develop another 15-year contract with them. And people are starting to talk, so it behooves. Right.
I mean, talk about having our own MRF.
Well, either our own MRF, or in which we have somebody else run, or not continuing this MRF, which hasn't served us very well during some time. So, I think that's what a lot of the questions are about. Anyway, I just, you know.
Well, they do have a new general manager in Tucson for Republic Services. So we'll see.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's go on to item 5 for your public outreach update. And when we were talking about the annual report, I wanted to make sure I got everything from your public outreach last year. So I'm going to go through. I had forgotten about the zoo. You did something at the zoo.
Oh, the party for the planet.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I get all those things in the annual report.
Do you want to? I can send you information from the Environmental Education Exchange about all the classroom presentations.
Oh,
if you want that.
No, I'd like to see those.
Yeah.
And then the other would be, you know, for the food cycle at home, there were a lot of trainings. I don't have the data, but Lisa Rotello does.
Okay.
If you want to include those.
Okay. Well, we want to, you know, get all the information and the hard work out there.
Okay.
To the public. Well,
I'll ask her to provide that.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great. Yeah. Just okay. Send it to Brittany and then she can send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. All right. So for April,
and then April, you know, this month, not too busy, but in April we will be kicking off the new Master Recycler program. Hmm. And we will have our zero waste collection event on April 5th. There will be at the Children's Museum Earth Day and the Party for the Planet at the zoo. I'm trying to think if anything major. We will also be going live with our new website. So quite a few things happening.
Good. Okay.
And one thing, we are going, you know, years ago we used to do pretty regularly a customer survey. It used to be a phone survey, but of course phone surveys don't work these days. So we are going to be doing a survey. We're going to be sending out a postcard with QR code to every resident so they can participate. So we'll see what kind of a participation we get. We're working with New Point Marketing to do that. So you should be looking for a postcard in the next couple of weeks.
I hope you do something on the postcard where people without computers can reply as well.
Unfortunately, it's really hard to do that these days because there isn't, it's just not, you know, a phone. We can't do something where somebody's can call in and answer questions.
So our sample is going to be skewed to some degree. People without computers, I mean, I know elderly people who don't have computers who, you know, are increasingly left out of these things.
Well, I do, you know, I think there's also a number of people that they do have access via their cell phones.
Not all of them. Some of them still have old-fashioned cell phones.
Okay.
But well, I'm just saying that, you know, it seems to me that it would have been available just to say, if you don't have a computer or access to using this QR code, you can call this number, and I bet you would get 10 or 15 only. So it doesn't seem like it would overwhelm, you know, the marketing firm to handle those questionnaires.
And how do you do with renters? You probably don't get as much information from them.
Well, it's going to go to every address in our service address. But, you know, typically renters are not going to be that engaged.
I know, but my neighborhood is like 74% renters. That makes it.
No, I mean,
Chris, kind of depressing that, you know, they're not involved, but
they will have the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's up to them.
Yeah.
If they want to participate.
Yeah.
Okay. And also if I see some of the renters, I always tell them to sign up for a recycle coach. And there doesn't seem to be that many people that are signed up.
We have about 70,000 people signed up for Recycle Coach.
I'd say that's outstanding.
Okay, but when you did that survey about how many people knew about the zero waste, most of it was from information they got in their water bill.
Personally, I think that based on what I see, a lot of people don't see the stuff that's in their water bill because a lot of people have gone to paperless.
And they don't get it.
And even though they get it as an attachment, they don't read it. Because I've had people tell me, well, I didn't see anything. And I said, well, it was in your bill. And they said, well, I get a paperless bill. I get it on the computer. Well, you do have it as an attachment. But if they don't look at their attachments, they're not going to see it. And some people tell me, I just go online and pay the bill. I don't even look at it.
Mm-hmm. Or so, some people have auto payment too. You know. So they don't even bother to look at it.
But even prior to most people being on paperless bill, whenever we've done these surveys and we've asked people what's the best way, and they all say, oh, put it in the bill. Pat and I went to a live presentation when we were going to every other week, which is a very important change. And people were asking questions, and I, you know, they said, well, you should put it in the water bill. And I said, well, I don't know if you saw it, but in September it was in your water bill. How many people saw it? Few people raised their hands. And then somebody said, well, you should put something on the outside of the envelope, says there's important information in your bill. Read it. And I said, actually, that September bill, it was on the outside of the envelope saying there's important information. Nobody saw it. So I don't know what you do, unless you, I don't know. I don't know what the best way to get to everybody is. I think we try to do everything that we can. We're using social media. We put things in the bills. We send out news releases. I don't know. We have Recycle Coach. We send out notices.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing all that. For sure. Okay, let's move on to item six for collections, the collection update. Is that you, Frank?
That's gonna be me, Jose.
Oh, Jose. Okay.
Hey, how's it going? So, just to give you a quick update, Brittany, can I share my screen with you? With you on?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You guys all see that?
Maybe a little bigger.
On, just one second.
Oh, that's better.
Good.
So I know that in the past couple of months that we've been talking about updates with the side loaders, and this is a recent update that we have. So right now we have a total of well, actually we had one of the battles delivered. I think I showed you guys a picture from the last battle truck that we had. I showed you guys a picture. That one's been delivered. Right now it's being decaled, and then we're just waiting for registration so we can get it out on the road. Basically, this is an update. These are orders that from 23 and 24. So basically, what it's letting us know, you know, that it's complete at BTE transporting, basically transporting it to getting ready to come down to Tucson. Pending, let me see if I can move this across. There we go. Okay, transporting to Velocity, that which is up there in Phoenix. Pending transport. Which is this one here from Texas to BTE in Phoenix. So the orders that we had from 23 and 24 are going to be coming in throughout the whole year. They're looking at getting that last piece of equipment delivered November. Let me see, is that what it says? Estimated months of production, delivery in December. So those vehicles that we ordered in 23, 24, they're just starting to come in. We're just following the list, and hopefully, you know, we can get them sooner than that. But as of right now, they're looking at doing the delivery to December. It'd be one here was in February. We should have, or in March, I'm sorry. In February, we should have had, according to this thing, sorry. No, it's transporting to Velocity. So we should start seeing some of these vehicles start coming in here shortly in March. You know, that's when they're going to be transported from Texas to BTE and Phoenix. So basically we'll be a month behind. We'll start seeing those vehicles start coming in. I don't know if can you guys see all?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Jose, how many you're talking about just side loaders right now?
Yeah, these are just the side loads, but I do have let me pull let me get my okay. Can you guys see this?
Yeah. How
Okay.
many are there going to be?
There's a total of 13 from
And
that's 23 and 24. Yeah, a total of 13 that are still that we should be receiving here within the next year. Oh, or this whole year. I'm sorry, this year.
So by the end of this year, we'll have all 13 on the road?
I wouldn't say on the road. Maybe like the last few ones that are at the end of the that are going to be coming in at the end of the year. One of the things that we're dealing with is, you know, whenever we get a delivery of a vehicle, like the one that we have now, the battle vehicle. So it comes down from Phoenix, you know, it'll sit here. It gets decaled. It's rekeyed. You know, basically we're getting preparing it for the operator. In the meantime, what we're doing, we're waiting for registration. What happens then is Phoenix is notified that we have a CNG vehicle. Phoenix sends personnel to come down here to Tucson to check out the, you know, make sure that it's a CNG. Basically, they're checking serial numbers from the CNG tanks, the frames. They're writing down the information. They're just verifying that it's a CNG unit. We know that usually takes the longest, you know, with DMV. As you guys all know, you know, trying to get your car registered, it's almost the same thing, you know, with our vehicles. So we have to sit here and wait. So one of the things that we, you know, we mentioned to the vendors, it's like, look, it's in Phoenix. Why not just take care of it then? You know, have them people, you know, instead of coming down to Tucson, is we're trying to work something out where it's, we don't have to worry about all of that, you know, DMV registration. That way, when it gets here to Tucson, the city of Tucson does their thing, you know, by decaling it and tinting the windows, rekeying and all that good stuff. So we're just ready to go. Because it'll sit there for a month or two without, we can't even take it out of the yard.
Okay.
Yeah, so those ones that are coming in late, you know, late months in November and December, they're probably going to trickle into next year. Hopefully if we can cut that down, you know, we're able to get all the vehicles on the road, but it all depends with DMV or with the registration. We do have two rollouts right now that are sitting up in Phoenix. Let me get you a picture of that. So yeah, we have the two new rollouts that we've been waiting for from 23. You know, they're ready to go. They're gonna start shipping them down here to Tucson. Can you guys see that?
No, we're still looking at the,
maybe
the trucks.
Let's see.
Couldn't the paid lobbyist for the city go and talk to DMV and try to work a deal with them? Seems to me you need to jump it up a couple of levels.
You know, we've tried that in the past, and that's just in-house. You know, we've gone, even when we're waiting for just the license plate itself, what we've done in the past, we've actually, you know, when you purchase a new vehicle, they give you just the paper.
Sure.
We've sent some of our trucks and just with the paper out there, just kind of, you know.
Well, why not?
Yeah. But it's more of the registration. If the vehicle isn't registered to the state of Arizona, there's no paper, you know, until it's registered. And then that's when we're able to receive that paper.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, it seems to me there needs to be a way to move that along. I like your idea of doing it in Phoenix. What's the hang up with doing that?
Yeah, that's something that we're just going to have to work on. So that way, you know, when they arrive here, where, you know, it's ready to be used, you know, once we do our part of the setup here with the city.
I mean, it's costing the city money to have a brand new truck sitting there not working.
Yes, ma'am. Completely understandable. I don't know if I'm trying to pull up the pictures.
Jose, you may need to stop sharing here.
Okay.
And either share your whole entire screen versus the window.
Let's see now.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so we have the two roll-offs that are sitting up in Phoenix that are going to be delivered. They're going to be delivered here shortly also. We do have two other roll-offs that have been they're going to have the two rollouts that we ordered. So we're right now, they're in the process of getting the paperwork through and having Spartan do the body. If you can tell, this one's, I don't know if you're able to see, but it's a Galbraith frame that we have on it. We're going to be changing it up to the, with the, a new, a new type is going to be called Spartan, I think, on the for the body itself.
So from start to these 13 side loaders, when are they all going to hit the road? At the, you know, when are they all going to be ready and with all the decals, with all the bells and whistles attached and everything? What's the estimated date for them to be on the road and fully functioning?
Well, because of the way they're going to be delivered, let me pull that up again from you, so that way you guys can take a look at it. Let me share it again. So we're hoping, you know, like this one that's been delivered. This one has been since the last conversation that we had when I took the picture. It's been sitting there. It's been sitting here in the yard waiting for registration. We're hoping that, you know, here in the next couple of weeks, you know, we get that thing. Once the registration, you know, we'll have it out on the road. But it all depends on the day that they get delivered. And if we happen to get something going with the registration from Phoenix, hopefully we can do that sooner. Instead of waiting 2 months, can we do it? And, you know, as soon as it gets here, you know, we do our part. Fleet Services does their part. We should have it out in 2 or 3 weeks tops. But it all depends on, going back to the question, when, you know, it depends when they arrive. You know, the sooner we can, you know, it's what holds us up is the registration part of it. So, if we can get something going, hopefully, you know, we can have all these vehicles in December. They'll be out and running.
Okay.
Just a quick update, too, also with radio communication. Last week, we were, and I'm not sure if you guys are aware, all of our vehicles and supervisors, including the landfill and the landfill, and then that also with transportation. We, a couple of years ago, we brought on a new company with, which is called Canyon State. Canyon State was providing radio service for all of our equipment, you know, with the supervisors. Last week we had around 2 o'clock, we were having issues with some of the radios, and we've been having issues with Canyon State, having meetings to see, you know, how can we get our radios fixed? You know, communications was not working as, you know, we expected from them. Last week at 2 o'clock, we started having, you know, those, we couldn't communicate with the operators. And by 3 o'clock, everything went down. One of the things, you know, when the operators, they have those radios, you know, they're communicating to dispatch. If they have a breakdown, they're communicating with the landfill, also with the supervisors. Basically, that's our form of communicating with the operator. So the radios went down, you know, we started calling Canyon State. Long story short, I head down there because nobody was answering. And basically, they were bailing out. They were removing all their furniture, and I guess of what I got from the workers at work, they're no longer in service. So right now we do have some type of communication with the radios. They weren't paying their bills on some of the antennas. So when some of our vehicles are far east, we can't communicate with them because, you know, we were using that repeater antenna that was up in Mount Lemmon. So this was on Friday, 5 o'clock. It was in the evening. Got a hold of procurement, you know, the kind of going over the contract. Monday morning, you know, at 8 a.m., we all had a meeting. We had IT. We had people from communications trying to figure out what are we going to do about radios. You know, at this time, they were going to reach out to the owner to see what was going on, what was happening. We got Sunlink that was involved, also Sunlink downtown. They, you know, they use the radios too. So right now we all have some form of communication, but not 100% where we're supposed to be with all the vehicles. We're working to see what's going to be the next step, you know, for communication. IT was there. You know, they had a lot of information. They have old radios that the police department had. Are we going to use those? Are we going to, you know, the equipment that we have now, can we program it so that way we can use it? So right now it's kind of an emergency. They have that on top of the priority list so that way we can get those radios up and running. We are communicating with the employees. They are, as you guys all know, we have Rubicon. We're able to communicate with them. You know, you can shoot them a text message. It's almost like an email. You can send them a text message. They all have tablets. You know, they have iMessage. But if it comes down to an emergency, that's where, you know, the employees are probably going to have to use their cell phones in the meantime until we get something going. So they are working on it. They should be setting up a meeting here pretty soon to figure out what exactly which route we're going to be going.
Well, that's awful.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes.
You had, had no warnings. Nobody's.
No warnings. It just 3 o'clock. Everything was down. You know, the only way we found out is when we paid a visit down at their office, which is located about 10 minutes from here. That's when, you know, I got there and they were, you know, all the furniture was just being taken out the offices. And we had a couple of, there was a worker that was there. He, you know, I know him very well. He works on our vehicles and he told me the whole thing that, you know, the company didn't have any more money. They weren't even paying the employees. So I don't think, you know, we're going to be holding them for very long.
That's amazing. So you never got in touch with the, if I missed that, did you get in touch with the president or the person in charge? Or?
Actually, Nora, and I can't remember her last name, but Nora, she worked for the city of Tucson and she's the one that did the contract. So she was going to try to get a hold of them to find out what was going on, if, you know, if they're going to continue the service or not. So right now we're just waiting, you know, for her to see what you know, what we're actually going to move forward with. But, it's on the top of her list just to get that communication going.
I mean, it's Wednesday and this happened Friday, right?
Yeah, it happened on Friday and it was late Friday. Everybody got together on Monday morning at 8 a.m. So, yeah.
But why didn't Nora get on it at 10 a.m.?
When, last week or?
Well, what... to me, like, this is a rather important issue. And waiting around for someone to make a telephone call doesn't seem very appropriate.
Yeah, no, she was. She got, you know, when we had that meeting on Monday, she, as soon as we were done with our meeting, she started, you know, trying to contact the owner because the owner wasn't even answering. We had that number, but the owner wasn't even answering. So, I'm sure she's taking care of it, you know, but. You know, I know that depending on which route we go, it's not going to be an easy fix where, okay, here you go. You know, here's new radios. All this is going to take some time.
Sure. And you have to go through the procurement process because I'm sure it's a rather large contract. I mean, how many radios is it? 100 radios? And
It's over 100 radios.
Yeah.
It's over because you got the landfill, you have SunLink, you have some folks from transportation. And here with collections.
So is the city manager's office involved at all?
They're part of the, you know, the procurement, you know, they're downtown. Are they involved? Yes, because we had IT, we had different people from different departments that were, you know, trying to see how we can fix things. Everybody had great ideas. So, you know, we all got together and we talked about it. We're just, which route are we going to go? What, you know, are we going to use the used radios that 911 had? Are we going to get new ones? Are we, you know, all those questions came up. So we're going to be meeting here pretty soon to find out exactly, you know, which route we're going to be going.
So does 911 have over 100 radios that are sitting around?
According to they had 99. Yeah, 99, but yeah, they had 99 radios, but they were PC Wind, which is a different frequency than what we use. But it's expensive, you know, to have that the PC Wind. But they do have those radios that, you know, that we can use them. But and they're portable radios. Those aren't radios that are installed inside the trucks, the units.
So are you offering your drivers some sort of compensation for using their cell phones?
Yeah, we did talk about that. As a matter of fact, we brought that up, you know, to give them some kind of stipend for using. Right now, you know, the way they're communicating is it's through the tablets. Basically, if you have a tablet, you're able to make phone calls or receive phone calls through the tablet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's on the table though. Yes, we did have talk about that.
Huh. Well, it seems to me this is a rather high priority issue.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mm. To get, I heard something completely off the subject, but somewhat similar, where the Parks Department got new trucks for hauling, you know, for moving their trailers and things like that. The outlet that goes from the trailer to the vehicle was different because they were getting all these new trucks. The plugins were different than the ones in the trailer. So then they had to get converters. So instead of just being able to plug your trailer into the truck, you had to get an adapter, then put the adapter in the truck. You would think that, you know, there's that seemed kind of strange that they would have to do that. When they bought the vehicles, they didn't realize they had the wrong attachments to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we've gone through that too with some of our trailers, and yeah.
Huh.
Hey, anything else you want to add, Jose?
Any other good news?
Yeah.
Good news, Russian Bulky on demand. You know, we've been doing good. We've been getting anywhere from 9 to 12 work orders per week. And those are for area 19 and 25. Everything is working good, working great. We haven't seen that very much of illegal dumping in those areas. Well, in area 25, that's mainly where it's happening. Like I said, anywhere from 19, 15 work orders per week. And, you know, every week it varies. It's working out. We've been sending our guys, taking care of that. We've been reporting. No major issues. You know, so and I know it's too early in the year, so we'll see as we go down, you know, towards the end of the year, how many more workers we'll be getting.
That's still good. That's still good work.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they're staying busy for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll solve the problem, too.
Yeah, I hope so, too. You know, I live in that area, so I'm keeping my eye out for that kind of stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awful. Are they somewhat consolidated, or are they spread all around?
They're spread out. There might be one or two that are right next to each other. You know, when a neighbor gets with the next door neighbor, you know, they'll have two piles there. But for the majority, you know, they're pretty spread out. But they're in the vicinity of the same area, so it's not too much travel time for these guys.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to that in the future.
All right. Start spreading the word.
Yeah. So to speak.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else?
That's going to be it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thank you. If you guys have any questions, let me know.
Bad and good news. So.
Yes.
All right. Now you're up, Frank. Fill us in.
Yes, so I'll start with operations. Just want to let everyone know that we are, and this, we've been working on this for a while, the planned area development, which is the plan that will dictate how we operate this entire facility, basically. And so we are working on that revision. And all of that is because, of course, we're becoming a sustainability campus and we are engaging in a lot more projects. So to include some of the revisions that are going to happen is also to include more waste area, more fill area. So we're planning to add a cell on the east side. And we're also looking into, of course, delineating all the different locations that are going to be either waste management or are going to be the public areas where we're going to have an education center, and then also the parks amenities, which will include some ball fields. And all of this is part of the revised plan area development. Once we also redesign the entire landfill waste footprint, we're also looking at amending the final elevations and the way they are currently designed. So all those will be included. The PAD doesn't require us to give all the details of how that's going to happen. It's just a general document. We'll be working on a design plan for our waste footprint and waste fillings. So they'll be coming down. We're already engaging with a consultant. So I should be able to bring some information within the next 6 months, roughly.
Okay.
On the design, how do we design those? We are having a public meeting, our second public meeting on the 26th of this month at 6 p.m. at the Lawfare Middle School. And that is just...
What middle school?
The Lawfare, L-A-U-F-F-E-R, which is in Littletown.
Oh, okay.
And the public meeting is a requirement for the PAD revision.
Yeah.
The second item I want to update is...
Who is the consultant for this?
Is SCF Engineering? The Planning Center.
It's the Planning Center. They're the ones that did the first one. So you're just continuing with them.
Correct.
They're a Tucson firm, so.
They're everywhere.
Yep. Okay. Sorry.
The second item is under operations is our gas pollution and control system. We are in the process of expanding into cell 4A, which is our newer cell. And just to give you a little bit of background, once we start filling into a new cell, a new developed cell, we need to track that date. In 5 years from that point, we need to establish extraction wells, landfill gas extraction wells within that area. So our time is up right now. It's due by April 10th. We've already been working on this. Within the next 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to have a construction part of it so that we're ready to go by April 10th. This is a requirement under our air permit for the gas collection and control system for landfill gas. If it hasn't been brought up yet, container maintenance will be moving out of South 10th, and they'll be coming out here to Los Angeles. So we are working on establishing some temporary areas for them while a more permanent facility is constructed. If you have any questions on that, I can go move over to BioFusion.
So the containers, I mean, I've been hearing this for 5 years, 6 years about their movement. Yeah. Is it really going to happen?
It is. we are directed to move out of that facility by the end of this month. I think it's March. I forget the date.
March 21st, we should be out of container maintenance. All over it. Right now, we've been delivering all of the containers, and which, you know, the recycling and garbage containers, they've all been delivered to the Los Reales landfill. Right now, we're getting rid of a lot of the metal containers, HBF. They've been hauling those out of there. Right now, the only thing that we have left is going to be the equipment, the tools that that container maintenance uses. We did find a small location that's close to the landfill that we're working right now with procurement, so we can at least rent it for a couple of months. That way he can set up, you know, shop at that location. I know, Margaret, you just brought up that, yeah, we've been talking about it for a while. So when EGSD, ES and GS split, so they're not going to move forward to what we were going to do, build something new for them here in Topsy, TOP. So since now the separation of both departments, we have to figure out, okay, where are we going to go with Ramon? It was, you know, everything happened so fast that, you know, okay, where we're going to set him up, where we're going to set shop at. So we do plan on building something here in the future for container maintenance out at Los Reales.
So let me understand, reading between your lines, that the person or persons that do the actual maintenance, the welding, the painting, et cetera, was under general services before.
We were combined,
and now it's back with the ES?
No, actually, we were environmental services. We've always had container maintenance.
Okay.
So when we joined together, when it was just one big apartment, you know, we were basically, you know, working all together. But now that the separation is here, you know, we were going to, when they were going to build, it was going to be an EGSD all together. We were going to, you know, be able to have the, you know, if they needed to work on the our equipment, which is, you know, some of the trucks, they might need welding. You know, we were just going to have one big shop where, you know, we were able to do everything there. But now with the separation, it's like, okay, we got to, ES has always had it. We kept it. Now we're, you know, trying to figure out where we're going to have the container maintenance.
So ultimately, it will be over at Los Reales again?
Yes.
So the idea is with this smaller place with just the tools, you'll drop off one container that needs to be fixed, and when it's fixed, it's picked on and taken somewhere else?
Yes. If it's fixed, I mean, the place that we're getting, it's pretty large, so we'll have enough space to have some of those containers there. But Los Reales is only a five-minute drive. It's right by Los Reales. So we'll be able to drop off containers there at Los Reales and keep them there as storage.
Okay. I'm trying to remember on the plan where that was, the storage area.
Yeah, and the storage area.
Pad.
This was probably something when, like 6, 7, 8 years ago, they were planning on building something at Los Reales.
Yeah.
But then it was stopped, and then they were going to build something here that was stopped. So now the plans in the future is Los Reales.
So Frank, where in the PAD plan is, you know, is it north, south, east, or west? Is it, what is it near where these containers will be?
The container, when you're talking about the new facility?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're both.
So once it's designed and we're ready to build the facility, as you come into the landfill, you come through the front gate.
Yeah.
It's immediately to your right. We have that open, empty area right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep going, you know, you kind of turn and you go towards the scales.
To the right.
So as soon as you come.
Okay. I thought that's where the nursery was for the trees.
No. The nursery is on the left.
Okay. All right. So when I enter, I'm facing west.
As you enter, you're heading south.
South. Oh, okay.
And so immediately west. And to the right hand, that's where the new facility is being planned to be built.
All right. So that's not where you've been planning to put businesses.
No, there wasn't any other. We haven't had any additional plans for that. Oh, no. So you're talking about outside of our gate, the new road.
Oh, okay.
Then those new businesses are going to be along the north.
All right. I'm confusing everyone.
So at one point, at the next meeting, I can bring up a map and kind of show you.
Show us the map again, where this is happening, because it's been on and off and been in various places around the campus and so forth. So, all right. Sorry, as a land use planner, I visualize these things. Sorry.
So just my final comments on Bifusion. The construction is well underway. Currently, they are prepping to pour the building slab. I imagine that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will have that set. We're also working through the electric and the water lines for this building. We're going to move in slightly from the original design, but it seems to be moving forward, you know, with good timing, so we won't have any delays on that. And mostly the change is just because it's more practical on how we're going to connect electric and water to the building. But other than that, no major impediments or anything on the construction part.
Sounds good. Anything else, Frank?
That's all I have.
That's all. Okay. So let's move on to item 8 for the future agenda items. We got the map coming up, right?
Yep. Good.
I like pictures. Anything else?
No. Yeah, report on the radios.
Oh, an update on the radios.
I hope by then they're all new radios in the hands of everybody.
Okay.
What?
Anyone else?
Yeah, I wonder what are the repercussions? I mean, had the city paid ahead? Do they pay monthly? What's the financial impact of this debacle?
Yeah, those numbers, I can have those numbers for you once we figure out. We do pay a monthly fee, you know, so I can have that information on our next meeting.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to know what we need to sue those guys for. Well, I mean, I think it's
that's ridiculous
to not warn you that they're going to quit and then just turn everything off. I mean, There must be something in the contract about doing that.
Well, we could get radical, Margo. So
absolutely.
Get our signs out. All right. Let's move on to, well, no called audience. And on to adjournment, item number 10. And it's 4:12, so we're getting out of here early. So thank you, everybody.
Have a
good night.
Thank you. Be safe.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Trevor, for a great report.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, I like it when other people write things.
Yeah, Trevor's good at it.
Yeah.
He is.
All right. Thank you.
Bye now.
See you guys.
Have a good week.